This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate. Hello and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh and I'm here with Brandon. How are you, Brandon?
I'm very good. So happy to be here after Game Week 25.
I think Aiden Green on Twitter said it best when he said, two consecutive weeks with 60 points and two consecutive red arrows, languishing around 800,000. I need to get a stress ball.
I don't get it. We were talking about the red arrows we had this week before we started recording, and it's like my overall rank now is 508,000 and change.
Okay.
And for the last like 2 or 3 weeks, like that's not a high ranking at all. But for the last 2 or 3 weeks, I'm consistently well above the average score, but I'm getting red arrows. I don't know what one has to do to get a green arrow when you're in this like soft middle of the overall ranking.
I don't know. Yeah, Captain Roberto Firmino, I think. Yeah. Triple Captain Mara. I don't know, like some weird, it seems like the people who do well every week, like these people on Twitter who post the screenshots of their captain, it's all like I want to see someone who just does this, like the guy who does the crazy, like, oh, I triple captain Mahrez away to Man City. Like, aren't I a genius? I want them to be forced to show who they've captained every single week for 37 weeks because, you know, that's only working out like once out of every 38 weeks, right?
Yeah, it's probably because they forgot to set their captain the right, night before. Exactly. They just fell backwards into it. I mean, I could easily have photoshopped Robert Huth as my triple captain. The actual screen grab would be him second on my bench.
So it was kind of a tough week for you. I finished with 62, which is you know more than respectable. I had a small red arrow, about 10,000 spots or so. Not too bad. Not having Mesut Ozil was what really cost me this week, but I did have three clean sheets for my defenders, and I do have Mahrez and even Aguero with that late goal really. Really helped me out. Worthless goal in the run of play. It was the ultimate fantasy goal.
You can tell Aguero is just playing for his goal bonus at this point. Like,
honestly, should have had two goals in that game too.
Yeah, we'll talk a lot more about the Leicester Man City game, yeah,
but I want to get back to I had an okay week.
Okay,
but for you, I mean the first match of the game week is. It was really a tough one for you, right? For two reasons. One, you dropped Mahrez 2 weeks ago for Jordan Henderson, which kind of worked out okay the first week and has been pretty bad.
And then it's been a stunning, stunning failure ever since.
And the other thing is the first defender on your bench is Robert Huth.
So yeah, yeah.
It's almost like leaving 30 points, unused.
It's true. And Huth, I always refer to him, people who listen to the Always Cheating Pod know that I refer to him as my cuddly little, or not little, but my cuddly, big cuddly teddy bear. And I do so love having Huth on my team, but my problem is I can never talk myself into actually playing him. I mean, the first half of the season, Leicester City couldn't buy a clean sheet. And right. Robert Huth, you know, much, much ballyhooed from last season about all of his shots on goal. Like, basically on any Leicester set piece, he's the main target. But he just didn't produce anything the first half of the season. And that vibe has sort of lingered with him, and I just can't get the courage to play him. And
I mean, if there was ever a time when you were going to put a marginal defender on your bench, it's away to Man City. I mean, that is arguably the worst fixture for any defense.
Exactly. I absolutely could not beat myself up over that decision. It's just dumb luck. I mean, it was almost easier to take when he scored that second goal, because just the flukiness of it all just sort of came together for
me. Well, nothing
me,
fluky about the win, though. I mean, a fantastic
No. Let's be clear about that. I mean, Leicester steamrolled Manchester City.
That free kick to start the game was such an amazing announcement of intent.
Yeah.
You know, it was just they zipped it in, Huth was there, and they were just like, we are going to play harder than you this match.
You know, it reminded me of the I'm going to go out on a limb here. It reminded me of the World Cup, Women's World Cup final, where the U.S. just smashed Japan in the first 10 minutes of the game.
Yeah, it was. It was a little of that Carly Lloyd-style destruction.
Yeah, Robert Huth is basically a German Carly Lloyd.
That is true. We should call him Carly, or iCarly from now on.
iCarly. So, yeah, I mean, you know how it goes. You've got, let's see, how many points did he end? You've got 16 points sitting there in second position on your bench. You spend the rest of the game week trying to figure out if it's even conceivable that you can get him into your squad through auto subs. I had a flag on Dele Alli. I had a flag on Romelu Lukaku. There was a flag on Junior Stanislas, who was first position on my bench, which in hindsight was just kind of a silly move to put him there anyway. So there was a conceivable route to getting Robert Huth into my team, but it was never meant to be.
No, it wasn't. So I think, you know, Tom Boardman, also another question/complaint on Twitter. He said, why am I poo at FPL? It's the same question he asked in game week 17. And I think we kind of all are this year. And I think the problem is too many people are it's very hard because there's so many players who are who are highly owned, who are performing well, like week in and week out. It's very hard to have that right combination of it's hard. Someone always seems to have the right combination who's not you.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of that's not very articulately phrased, but they're sort of, you know, you got to have Ozil and you got to have Mara. Basically, you just if you would just pick your template team in game week 6 and really never if you had just picked two Arsenal defenders, Mahrez, Vardy, Mesut Ozil, I mean, whatever that template was, it's basically the same one 20 weeks later, Sergio Aguero.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's true.
You start tinkering, you take out Mahrez for Jordan Henderson. It's human nature. It's just because it's more fun to keep making transfers. It's irresistible. Yeah. You know, it's hard to keep tinkering, but you know, if you had just made almost no transfers the last 20 weeks, you'd be in a better position.
Yeah, so I'm actually knee-jerking back to the template because I talked last week about my wanting to get Alexis Sanchez into my midfield. I thought it was going to be a good captaincy option. Mm-hmm. In hindsight, that was just ludicrous thinking. He still looks like he's really rusty and getting back to 100%. So I decided to not make any transfers. You know, I left Lukaku in up front, which paid off. And now left me with two free transfers, and I've already kicked Jordan Henderson out and brought Mahrez back in. So I'm reverting back to the template now.
I like that. I wondered if you would – I figured you were going to do it either this week or next week. And so I like it. Even away to Arsenal. I mean, that's a – you know, we just want to be back on. You want to beat the price rise, all that stuff.
Yeah, beating the price. And again, we'll talk about this when we review the Leicester City game, but – if Leicester's going to go steamroll Manchester City away, like at the Etihad, there's no reason why you can't bet on this Leicester City anywhere, anytime. So I have no issues. Arsenal is going to be a tougher game for them. I think that's pretty clear. But I'm really happy to have Mahrez back.
Did you – so 150,000 managers drafted in Jamie Vardy before his match away to Man City. Was he a tempting option for you at all?
Not really.
I feel the same way, and I was surprised that there was such a rush on him. I mean, I know that there's the whole beat the price, and you want to have him long term and all that stuff. But I really feel like he could blank again at Arsenal. I mean, he actually looked pretty dangerous in Man City, to be fair.
He did. They were definitely targeting him with those balls over the top.
But the thing is, he got stopped because it's a good defense, and that's what they, in the end they conceded three goals.
I'm not going to let you fully get away with that statement, Josh. I mean, did you see how they defended on that Mahrez goal? It's just like suicidal.
I thought he made some pretty good moves to score that goal, though. It's a pretty brilliant individual goal. I mean, he really...
He did well, but they gave him the space in which they gave him the rope to hang themselves with, to use a little elaborate metaphor.
That is true. But so, okay, yeah, fair enough. But, you know, Vardy was unlucky. He was either unlucky or stopped by the defense. I don't know, one or the other. Maybe because they were committed to stopping him, it allowed more room for someone like Mahrez to take control.
I think
tactical discussion.
Yeah, I think the long-term question, or the question we'll have to discuss in the next two episodes of the pod, will be, do we target Vardy for game week 27 against Norwich? And I think that's when we really have to ask the question.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually planning, unless anything happens to him in this Arsenal match, I'm planning to bring him in, basically the second transfers are open over this weekend.
Yeah. All right. So I have to a piece of business out of the way real quick here. You were talking about it somehow some other manager always seems to get the better of you week to week, and that was the case this weekend in the away leg of the official Always Cheating Fast Food Cup, which it's a head-to-head competition I have with a good friend of ours, Justin, who hosts the Big Game podcast, who you've probably heard us mention here before. So anyway, Justin, his team is called the In-N-Out Swingers, named after the famous California burger joint, and my team is the BK Broilers, named after a fast food joint that I never really eat at, Burger King. So anyway, we play against each other with a certain amount of grit and intent every season, and we fight for this crummy trophy that Justin's girlfriend helped him make called the Fast Food Cup. So anyway, we ended up tying 58 points apiece, but because Justin won the first leg, he gets to take the Fast Food Cup home this season. So I have to give him a shout of congratulations on this episode. Justin, you got the better of me this season, but I will put you in the deep fryer next year. You can count on that.
All right, let's get to what really matters here, Brandon, which is the Hail Cheaters Super League.
It's the biggest league going. I mean, it is the most super league. That's
it is
sure.
A super league. It really is super.
If there are any diehard Always Cheating fans out there, you'll probably notice that I just actually changed the name of the league in the FPL game to the Hail Cheaters Super League. So it's official.
It actually threw me off a little bit when I saw that.
It breaks onto two lines now when you look at it on your desktop, which I kind of don't like. But,
but it is,
you know,
fun to pull
branding
the
for branding's sake.
Yeah, exactly. The Hail Cheaters Super League. All right. So let's get right to it. Owen O'Keefe. Hanging on in first place, a more than respectable 69 points. Behind him is Melvin United, new at number two. It's Melvin Mbazi.
Well done, Melvin.
Yeah,
I feel like I'd like Melvin if I met him. I think that name is it's a very good name, Melvin.
It is a good name. With a big 84 points, he is into second.
Wow, how did he manage that?
That is a good question, and one I don't know the answer to. But I will find out.
All right, now I'm pulling up his team here. He's on that Scott Dan gravy train, and he's got Firmino, Ozil, Aguero, Mahrez, and Peter Cech back there in goal doing the business.
Yeah, you know, people laughed when they all laughed, Brandon, when we put Scott Dan in the most underrated fantasy asset category. I was actually the only one who voted for him, I think, in this category.
It's crazy how many goals this guy is scoring. It's just really crazy. And on such a crummy team, that Crystal Palace team is just kind of a joke right now.
So here are the five players we had in the – not that I want to go through the whole poll right now, but just the most underrated fantasy asset. This is from our one-third season poll. So it's about – actually, we need to do a two-third season poll, Brandon, maybe next week.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Most underrated fantasy asset, less than 10% ownership through game week 12. It was Scott Dan, who's been awesome. Arunda Kone, who stinks. And I like to send a weekly reminder on Twitter about how much he sucks.
It's good because I forget how much he sucks. And then there
Ross is. Ross Barkley hit him clear on goal at the end of that match. So frustrating. Dusan Tadic, who is Tadicing it up once again, which means he'll like score a goal and then he'll come on like at the 83rd minute of the next match, like no consistency at all.
Yep.
Gomez, who almost single-handedly kept Watford in this match, has been pretty good. And Wijnaldum, who has been explosive and absent kind of in equal measure.
Yeah, like what you were saying with Tadic. So I guess Scott Dan is really the man that list of players.
I think so. Maybe Wijnaldum possibly too. I think Wijnaldum's still in the top five or six in terms of overall points for.
Yeah, Wijnaldum, he's interesting. Like, I've just never been able to get on board because, I mean, he is so inconsistent. When he comes through, he seems to come through in a major way. But what a frustrating player to have on your team.
Yeah, totally. He's better as a fifth. He's too expensive as a fifth midfielder, but that's actually where he really belongs.
Yep.
Okay. So.
All right. So Melvin, you totally took us down the fantasy wormhole there. Let's get back. Yeah. Let's get back to the Super League table. But who's in third place?
But just to briefly. So Melvin kind of explains what it took to be on top this week. He had basically all the players that you needed, which are Mahrez, Firmino, Ozil, Dan, Peter Cech.
Yeah.
Those were he had all the top players, and he captained Aguero, who picked up that late goal, which kind of saved all of us.
I got to tell you, I'm looking at Melvin's bench right now, and it's a masterclass in how to pick your bench players because he's got three really dynamite prospects: Ighalo, Cresswell, and Charlie Daniels from Bournemouth, who is the famous penalty taking defender. And the foresight to bench all these guys. Really, really great discipline there, Melvin. I applaud that.
Yeah, and he's just outside the top 1,000 too. So mm-hmm. Now Melvin got a lot of attention. I don't think we can do that for the rest of this group. But quick shot. Let's go. We'll keep running down through. So Calvin Chan's in third. Kenny Brunvoll's in fourth. Mohamed Al-Qiassi is in fifth. New to the top 10, and he commented about how excited he was to hear the podcast because he was going to get called out. So Graham,
I'm going to bleep out his name. I'm sorry, I just totally talked over it too. Give him his
McDonald's is into sixth place. That's Gamchester United.
All right, well done, Graham.
Well done, Graham. Sushant Garg in seventh, Sean Comiskey eighth, Colin Bothwell in ninth, and Guillermeld in tenth. So a lot of the usual suspects outside of Graham hanging around the top 10.
Yeah, man, the Hail Cheaters Super League, it never fails to impress.
I know it really is. I mean, like I think I dropped one spot this week. So I went from it's like somewhere in the 200s, like lower than I really should be. Like I should be at least.
I am officially at 199th position. So
hanging on to page four.
There you go.
All right.
It's never too late to join the Hail Cheaters Super League. You can find the league code and an auto join link at our website, oscheating.com.
Yeah, you can also find that code on Twitter. All right, Brendan, let's go right to the game week 24 review. As suggested, we'll be a little short on the review this week and then move on to questions and a game week 26 preview because it's coming fast and furious.
Okay, and I'm going to follow your lead.
Yeah, so here we go. No more time to delay. I'm going to
Quit stalling. Yeah,
starting in just a minute, I'm going to do this.
Okay, hold on. I got to get some water.
All right, so game week 25 review. First match. We already talked about it a little bit, so we don't have to go on too long.
Leicester. The Huth game, the iCarly game.
The Huth game, yeah. Vardy, fantastic. He actually looked fantastic. He didn't score any points in the match.
Yeah.
To many people's frustrations, although I still, as I said earlier, I think, it was just too early to bring him back. I can understand the impulse to bring in Vardy, but I think that it was not quite the time to do it. Although maybe, as we've said in many, many episodes of the podcast, you can't look at these transfers in a vacuum. It's really all about what you get long term. But I do think that away to Man City and away to Arsenal are probably the two toughest fixtures you'd have as a.
Yeah, and there are enough strikers that are in form right now or had good fixtures lined up. We didn't even talk about your Olivier Giroud transfer, but Yeah, there just wasn't a compelling enough argument for me to get Jamie Vardy in for this City game.
Yeah.
Now, we can keep talking going into this Arsenal game, but I still think that game week 27 would be the earliest, I'd think, to get Vardy in.
Yeah, and then I think by game week 27, he's pretty much – okay, so let's get to it. This is one of the questions for this match and looking forward. I mean, so, you know, maybe not away to Arsenal, but, you know, game week 27 and game week 28, do you think that Vardy is a must-own essential player? So game week 27, they are home to Norwich, and that's also when four teams will be off, so he becomes even more valuable. Game week 28, they're home to a West Brom team that I'm not even sure has three defenders anymore. I don't know if you've seen what the injury situation is for them right now, but it's pretty awful.
I think West Brom, they just lose every game by forfeit. Like, I'm not even sure they're playing anymore.
Yeah, it's a tough spot. So Norwich, West Brom, then they're away to Watford, which is a very winnable match, and then they're home to Newcastle. So it's pretty phenomenal four-game run. I certainly plan to have three Leicester players for those matches.
Yeah, I'd go out on a limb and say he's a must starting game week 27, and I think it works out for most of us who are still hanging on to Big Rom, mm-hmm. that because Everton blanks in game week 27, it's just like a straight swap there, Vardy for Lukaku. Lukaku for Vardy.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And you know, I suppose if Lukaku hadn't been a doubt, I would have held on to him. I made a slightly risky transfer for Giroud, but the idea was always to have Giroud for 2 weeks and bring in Vardy in game week 27. So I mean, you could argue that it's a waste of a transfer because I'm not keeping him that long, but I'm okay with that. You know,
I mean, I don't think it was a bad transfer per se. The logic was there. Lukaku was on what, like five blanks. And he was a doubt. I mean, we talked about this last week. We were all ready to knee-jerk him out of our teams.
Yeah, and Stoke City have played very well at home against some pretty good teams this year. So I certainly thought a clean sheet was in the realm of possibility. I mean, I really would not have expected, nor did we predict in the podcast, that Everton would run over Stoke in that match. I mean, that was very
Stoke team is against
expectations.
Having a real problem right now. It's a strange one.
It is a strange one. Yeah, I mean, Arnautovic, who looked so dangerous for a while, is just, you know, really in poor form.
Yeah.
Okay, so FPL Junior. Okay, actually, before we get to the question, so Man City, you know, still feeling good about Aguero, obviously. Scores, even when he is having an off game, he scores. He's just an unstoppable player.
Yeah, the problem was he just wasn't getting a lot of service, and I think that City midfield is really dysfunctional right now. I mean, Fernando, what even is that guy? And he did not improve the team at all when he came in. I was actually disappointed at Fabian Delph. I really like him, but he had a terrible game. And I think if Silva is not on form, that Aguero just has a hard time getting the ball. But despite all that, you're right. He's still getting his shots on target, and he's still getting at least a goal a game.
It's going to be a tough – I mean, like, we may have to – yeah, as long as Aguero keeps scoring, then he's really not anyone you have to worry about. I'm certainly planning to start and captain him at home this weekend to Tottenham.
He loves to score against Tottenham.
Yeah, exactly. But it is tricky. I mean, Sterling, I thought, looked okay. Yaya Toure completely off the boil. Yeah, Silva, you know, subbed out. And then actually, do you see he has an ankle injury again? He's 50-50 for this weekend.
Which has been his cross to bear for many years now. It's like a perpetual thing for him.
It really is. And we saw it in the NBA with Grant Hill. And, you know, once you've got a bum ankle, it's just kind of dogs you for the rest of your career. So although Grant Hill had a nice little resurgence at like 35 years old. So maybe
okay, Silva makes it to 35.
Yeah, like in 2022 or something, Silva's going to be very dangerous again.
I mean, if Silva is going to be out, that is a huge problem for Manchester City, because who do they have? I mean, Samir Nasri is still injured long term. And
what did you think about this Bersant Celina?
Oh, I'll tell you what. All I could think of was Santa's Workshop elves from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. He looked like he came straight from the North Pole.
I feel like I follow the league pretty closely, and that was a name that was completely off my radar, Bersant Celina. I mean, I have no idea if he's like a youth player. I mean, I know this is very unprofessional. This podcast is supposed to be – we're supposed to at least pretend that we know what we're talking about. But he was completely off the table for me. Now, you have been advocating for him for a long time, as I later found out.
Yeah. I mean, for those of you who subscribe to my Selena podcast, you know, Nuts for Selena, I encourage you all to subscribe. Yeah. No. Who has heard of that guy? He looked ready for it.
He did.
He looks really young, but he came out. He was confident. He was making moves on the ball.
Picked up the assist on the Aguero goal.
Yep.
So yeah, maybe it's a Selena Delph forward line.
Well, what's so funny about it is he's priced himself out of the game because nobody's ever heard of him. He's still sitting there priced at 4.5 million. So I mean, I know you're going to talk about your transfer at some point, but if you're looking at a fifth midfielder, there are just such stellar options as low as 4.2.
It's true. Yeah, I agreed. And honestly, who knows when we'll see this guy again? They do need
next Christmas.
He's another little guy. I mean, what they really needed was Wilfred Bony. They needed someone with a lot of physical strength up front, and because they were really out muscled in that game.
It's true.
Yeah, I mean, Leicester. They make it seem so easy, don't they? All you need are a couple of skillful attackers. A rock solid defense and great team spirit, and you can win the league. It's like similar to like a book. Like, it never works that way, you know. And now, granted, they don't have any injuries, and as long as Vardy and Mahrez stay healthy all year, I don't know why they couldn't win it now. I mean, it's, you know, not that this is still a fantasy podcast, but you know, it's just, I mean, as long as those guys are producing, it really seems like the door is open for them.
It's unreal. I mean, go Leicester. Let's do this.
So FPL Junior asks, would you rather get the Leicester or Chelsea defensive assets? You can only pick one for this week onwards.
Oh, interesting. I mean, Robert Huth, we're talking about the Huth game here, but these guys they're strategizing to win the league. And the way they're playing, they're bound and determined to do it. And you look at a team like Chelsea. First of all, they're just not a strong team. They have great players, but they're not a strong team. They've proven it time and time again this season that they aren't. They've kept some decent clean sheets in recent weeks, but still, that's a difficult team to peg. So I would take Leicester defender. I mean, not to mention the fact that the Leicester defenders are crazy cheap by comparison. If you take Danny Simpson. Robert Huth, he's rising in price now, but he's still just at 4.4.
Yeah, I mean, if you were looking at game week 26, like just in one game week isolated, I want the Chelsea defense because they're home to Newcastle and Leicester are away to Arsenal. But you know, once you get past this game week, you're talking about Norwich at home, West Brom at home, Newcastle at home, and three of the next four. So, I think if in anything larger than a one game vacuum, I would want a Chelsea or a Leicester defender over a Chelsea defender.
So I'm kicking myself right now. I mean, am I not going to start Huth again next week away to Arsenal?
Well, I mean, you can't start. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't start him away.
Yeah, I mean,
you can't have like that much recency bias where like,
it's true.
Robert Huth scored two goals. I mean, this is the same guy that did like a free kick that dribbled like off the side of the pitch just 2 weeks ago. I mean, you know, it's like he's not in good scoring form. Like he just like got lucky on two set pieces.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I mean, I have a pretty decent lineup set at the moment. Aaron Cresswell away at Norwich. Virgil van Dijk away at Swansea, and Glenn Johnson, though the Stoke team is a little questionable, they're away to Bournemouth. But you have to have some faith that Stoke could get a result there. But so if I were to throw Robert Huth in for anybody, it'd be Glenn Johnson.
Who's your fifth defender?
That would be Eric Dier. So
away to Man City.
Man City. So, of course, Eric Dier is probably on for two goals against City next week, so no problem.
All right, let's move on to, because we already started talking with them a little bit, let's move on to Man U Chelsea. Interesting match. You said so did you watch any of it or were you listening?
I watched the first half, and then I listened to half of the second half on the radio as I was walking to meet some friends for brunch. And then
And I'm sorry I missed this brunch, by the way. It was,
you know, we sent you many invites. You just weren't picking up your mail that day, apparently.
So were you walking with your wife to brunch and you just had your headphones on listening to the game?
Like, no, she was coming from the gym, so I was meeting her there.
Okay.
So I needed a clean sheet from David De Gea in our head-to-head, our 50-buck cup.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on for his clean sheet. And the moment I sat down at brunch, it was like going into the 88th minute, and it all looked certain. De Gea was on for a bonus point.
Yeah.
He was on seven already.
Diego Costa diving all over the place, not even trying to shoot on goal.
So then, of course, I look at my phone once we all start ordering and everything, and I see that Costa has scored. And I mean, my soul just fell out the bottom of my body, and I had a hard time making conversation for a while.
I think I texted you around that time too. I was like, "Oh, yeah. What a match! What a match!"
You were loving it. You were absolutely loving it.
But I was, because it was like the game was getting. I had 62 all out. And I knew how the bonus points were going to get distributed, and about 15 minutes after the game, it kind of settles in the bonus points. I was like, all right, I need David De Gea to get less than 7 points. Even if he gets a clean sheet, I'll still win the head to head. But if he gets seven, I'm screwed. And so he got that third save in like the 75th minute. I was like, oh my God, I'm screwed. And then he was on for like a couple of bonus points. And I was like, I'm not even going to tie. I'm actually going to lose this match now from like a 9-pointer from De Gea.
Which would have been a miraculous comeback for me after the disaster of an opening fixture.
But then Memphis Depay happens. And it was okay. I mean, to be fair, it was a great pass from Hazard. I mean, Hazard, has the vision. I mean, vintage Hazard, really. He has the vision to see Costa, make this move, know that he's going to be onside, lifts the pass over the defense, and he makes Costa made a pretty nice move around De Gea too, and kind of
it was. I mean, he found himself in so much space. It was really pretty beautiful.
Yeah, so it was the whole match was really fun, I have to say.
Yeah, watching the first half as I did, it was really evenly matched. Like United had all of the momentum like for the first 20 minutes, and then it completely switched over to Chelsea. I was really impressed at how good United looked for that first 20-25 minutes. They looked a bit like a team reborn, and
They just sat back too far after they scored, and they were inviting a goal. I mean, it was really conservative, I thought, their play.
Yeah,
and they had a couple times when I felt like they really could have pushed for a second, and it just didn't happen. So
Darmian looked fantastic from a defensive point of view for United.
Yeah,
and if it looks like his playing time is more consistent these days, he was making all the moves down the wing there.
I was feeling a little nervous about this match too, because I had I have Chris Smalling, and I benched Chris Smalling for Micah Richards, which is just a move that no one is ever comfortable doing. That is not a that is not a place you want to be.
Yeah.
But I just felt like, why even have Micah Richards if I'm not going to play him at home to Norwich?
I feel like the three times you've actually played Micah Richards this season, because let's be clear, you've had him all season. You've actually gotten something out of him.
I think that's true. He scored a goal in one match, and he had a clean sheet against West Brom, or versus West Brom, and then the clean sheet in this match. So
you're working him correctly. Whatever you're doing, right, it's working.
Exactly. He has his price falls further and further. I think he's at like 2.7 million now or something. So, my team value is – I've never had team value this low this far into a season before.
Value?
I mean, it's above 100, but it's like 102.5 or something like that. Really, I mean, for this far into a year, when I've had, like Mahrez alone is like a full million right there that I picked up.
Yep.
So I'm sweating out Smalling. It looks like he's about to keep a clean sheet, and he's on for two bonus points. I'm like, this is so conservative, Josh. And then, not conservative, it's the opposite. It was so risky. Like, why wouldn't I just stick with the guy?
Yeah.
And then he gets a handball, and they lose the clean sheet, and turns into a 1-pointer for him. And it was really a wave, because you know how it is. Like when you make it's not like. It shouldn't matter that Smalling's on my bench scoring points. Like it should be fine. It's not like, it's not like it's he's not so highly owned that it was going to be a huge deal.
Yeah.
But it's like you want your decision to be justified by the players on your bench doing poorly.
Hey, absolutely. I mean, imagine how I felt when Leicester conceded to Aguero late in the game. I was like, ha ha, take that, Huth.
Yeah, exactly.
Your two goals don't mean anything now.
Yeah, no 21-pointer for you.
Yeah. Enjoy your 16, fool.
So I did something I almost never do. I really like to make transfers as late as possible. I mean, sometimes if I have two, I'll make one early. But in this case, I had one transfer, and I brought in, because his price is about to rise, I brought in Lingard, and I finally dropped Ashley Westwood, who I've had forever. And I did it to solve a few different problems. One is that I have no money in the bank right now. I'm actually at zero. And if his price rises, I wasn't going to be able to do a like-for-like Lingard to Westwood swap, which is like the greatest ever swap, by the way. That's a huge jump. Yep. And they're away to Sunderland in the next match, and they have to be feeling pretty good. And he scored a great goal. I think it's highly likely that he starts at least the next couple of matches.
Without a doubt, sure. And I think his price is probably rising based on that goal, and also because we were big upping him on the last episode of Always Cheating.
Oh, he's getting the AC bump. There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely.
I need five strong midfielders for game week 27 because I'm not going to drop Aguero, so he'll be on my bench.
I'm curious to talk about your benching strategy when we get to the game week 26 optimizer and we talk about the Spurs game. So put a pin in that one. Yeah. Anything else we need to say about this Man U Chelsea game? I guess. What about Rooney? We kind of have to talk about Rooney week to week because he's always the hot topic. He gets the assist here, so I guess I'm pulling up his record here to see what sort of streak he's on. He's on so game week 24 goal and an assist. He blanked in game week 23, but then prior to that, he's 3 weeks running with goals and assists. So Rooney is probably in the best attacking form of anybody on that United team. But if we kind of touched on this last week, but he's 10.0.
Yeah, man. He's expensive. I suppose he's a bit of a differential if you have Vardy and I don't know. Yeah, it seems like there are better options. I think even Diego Costa is probably a better option at this point.
Yeah.
It's just hard to be totally sold on Man U, even given how much better they played the last few weeks.
Yep.
It's not a very consistent attack. I say this as someone who just brought in a Man U attacker, but 4.2 is minimal risk. 10.0, I think you want slightly more consistent returns. FPL Junior asks, FPL Junior is getting some real play in this episode. Do you think Chelsea's defense will be as good without Kurt Zouma?
Yes, I think it'll be the same, exactly the same.
What do you think about Kurt Zouma, Brennan?
You know how I feel about Kurt Zouma. I don't have any strong opinions about him. I think he kind of plays out of control. Like he kind of goes for it a little too hard sometimes, mm-hmm. and I think that's actually how he destroyed his knee.
Yeah, he's pretty young still. He's probably like 21 or 22. Mm-hmm. They can basically slot Gary Cahill into that Zouma role, and I don't think there's a huge drop-off there.
No, I mean, Cahill is a little slower, I think, but he has...
Very serviceable backup, though.
Yes, yes. He's a national team player. He's a smart guy. I've seen his A-level scores. He did very well. He's a...
Very top bright.
One of the best thinkers we have in the game right now, actually, Gary Cahill.
All right, let's move on to Southampton, West Ham. I don't want to say too much about this because we talked about Southampton a lot last week. Two things I want to ask you, Brandon. One is Payet overrated? Feels like he is the transfer du jour for several weeks now. Going back to when he scored 10 points in his kind of his big comeback match, first match he started.
Yeah, it might have even been 11 points.
I think it was 10 because I had him for that game.
Oh, okay.
I remember it well. So do you think how are you feeling about Payet? You brought him in after his big return.
Yeah, after he got 11 points in game week 21. I'm looking at it right now. Buddy.
It was 11 points, damn it.
I'm right. I agree. It's been a real disappointment that he hasn't gotten any returns since that big haul. But you look at their upcoming fixtures, and they're still incredibly tantalizing. Like the Southampton game, they were playing away. I didn't have any great faith that West Ham was really going to do it. But you look at their upcoming run, they're away to Norwich, then they're home to Sunderland, then they host Spurs.
get emotional. I mean, I'm sure he'll score again, Brandon. Don't. Then no need to cry.
I'm gonna stick with it and have a little patience. I honestly haven't seen him play since that Manchester City game, where mm-hmm. even though he didn't score any points, it looked like he was clearly the best player on the field.
I thought he looked pretty. He looked okay in that. The Southampton match was certainly the toughest of his recent run of fixtures. I mean, he's had so many matches where he could have scored and should have scored, and it's just it hasn't really happened for him yet. But I mean, Norwich away is definitely a Maverick Campton. You know, it's sort of like Firmino at home last week. You know, it's if you don't want to captain Aguero, I think captaining Payet away to Norwich is a very, very strong option. In fact, he'll probably be my vice captain this week. Just enough chance that something happens to Aguero.
Yeah, I have him tapped as my vice captain as well.
Payet, it's frustrating, but I think he's still and he plays in game week 27. He's got a great fixture in game week 27, just home to Sunderland. So, he's definitely a it's been frustrating, but he's still one of the you know he's certainly I don't know if he's essential, but I do think I would not be making a move to get rid of him right at the moment.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, he did even hit the woodwork in this game. I mean, that's been his MO the last three weeks.
He had a couple of good moves. He looked dangerous, but he had a couple of free kicks that didn't really do anything. So I think he was a little off this week. Not his best week.
Yeah.
All right. Second question. Southampton been playing great. Charlie Austin still not starting, unfortunately. Very glad I did not bring in Austin, which was a major punt that I was considering.
Charlie Austin
almost did score at the end. So are you interested in the idea of doubling down on Southampton's defense? Is that something that you would think about? Maybe not this week, maybe not next week, but someday soon and for the rest of your life.
So, yeah. I think I've said it on at least one episode of, Always Cheating, but I do have a fondness in my heart for Maya Yoshida. So
he's pretty terrible, but you know,
yeah, he's kind of terrible. I mean, I don't really have any interest in Southampton attacking assets right now, but their defense, as you wisely point out, has just been so amazing recently.
Fraser Forster looked so good in that West Ham match. He was phenomenal.
Yeah,
and they could not break that defense. I mean, so another Wanyama red card. I think it was his third this season.
Yeah.
And you really never felt there was like a bit of a siege going on near the end, but it never felt like they were in that much danger because that defense really just held together so well.
Yeah. Five clean sheets in a row. They've got that swagger. You and I both have Virgil van Dijk in our back lines and I'm loving him right now.
Yeah.
And he didn't get any bonus points this week, but he's a bit of a bonus magnet.
Yeah.
So if you're looking to spend some money in that Southampton defense, I think VVD is the way to go. But yeah, if the double up is on the cards, it would definitely be a defender plus Fraser Forster.
I think that when I do wild card, it's a near certainty that I'll have Forster on my as one of my keepers. And so in that case, and I probably hold on to Van Dijk. So I'll probably have I probably will ultimately double up on Southampton whenever I do end up making my using my second wild card.
I mean, I can't believe that this streak will last for the rest of the season. But they do have a really nice lineup of fixtures with Swansea, Chelsea, Bournemouth, Sunderland, Stoke. You could see so many more clean sheets coming up in the very near future.
That's really the thing is there are very few matches down the line for them where you're really, I mean, so they have Man City and Spurs and game week 36 and 37. Okay. Those are tough ones. But other than that, I mean, it's, you know, maybe away to Leicester. I mean, even that match, I just feel like you could comfortably start a Southampton defender for the rest of the season in nearly every match.
Yeah. Now see, we claim that Virgil van Dijk is due for a goal, and let's be clear, he still is due for a goal. It was a little unfair that Maya Yoshida took the goal this past week.
I totally agree. And
that should have been van Dijk's.
And actually, he was like right behind him, too. It could have been van Dijk's. I know. It feels like everyone in that team is scoring but van Dijk. It's very frustrating. All right, Brandon, enough of the game week. Let's move on to some hot topics. And when I say hot topics, all I actually mean are questions that we got on Twitter and Facebook. all right. So El Magico says, benching roulette, leave one out of Alexis Ozil. Mahrez, Piatt, or Alley for game week 26. And this is why it is so tricky to have five strong midfielders. I mean, yeah. Who do you – okay, so let's make this very easy to start. Alexis and Ozil, home to Leicester, I would definitely start both of them. Piatt away to Norwich, you got to start him too.
You're so confident about Arsenal against Leicester, and my concern is that Alexis Sanchez does not look fully fit yet. He'll surely start, and at some point he will explode. The problem is, if you have Alexis in your squad, you kind of have to play him because he costs so much dang money.
Yeah. I think that with Olivier Giroud, they have the kind of strong center forward that they really need to break down this Leicester defense.
Says the Giroud owner.
Well, be that as it may, this is also an Arsenal team that dropped, what, five goals against Leicester when they played him in the first half of the season? I know that Leicester was a lot more wide open than they are now, but I don't know. I just feel like Arsenal at home, 10 million defenders. I mean, like you said, I mean, Alexis is too expensive to bench, I think. I mean, you don't bring him in unless you're going to play him in basically every home match. Right. Ozil, obviously, you wouldn't bench him, especially. I mean, he's Mesut Ozil. Like, there's always a chance of, at the very least, an assist, right?
Yeah.
Payet, you got to start him away to Norwich.
Yeah.
And then it's down to Mahrez and Ali. And Ali, I suppose, is a possible benched out, just given that he's had this, you know, he has this, like, these dizziness issues. So
he's got vertigo.
Is that what he has, really? Is that true?
I don't know. I really don't know.
So I think I would start Mahrez and I'd bench Ali. That's when I'm actually planning to start Lingard and bench Ali. So there you go.
I will be playing Dele Alli because Junior Stanislaus is my fifth midfielder, and I think he's a much easier benching option. But taking this list, I see your logic. Your logic is sound, Josh. Ali is the one to bench.
Yep. Okay, good. Problem solved, El Magico. You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Chris Morin asks, worth holding on to Moreno? Even with a double game week on the horizon for him, or ship for possibly Ivanovic or Font this week. And then he says, you got to take into consideration that Moreno is a nice fixture on paper this week versus Villa. So it's a horrible spot to be in with Moreno, because obviously everyone who has Moreno is desperate to get him out of their team. Right. Yeah. it's just this like frustrating run of he sort of teases you and you think he's finally going to deliver and he's got this attacking threat and it's just not happening for him. And now you're like, all right, finally time to get rid. But it's kind of a tricky game week from a defensive point of view. And Liverpool match against Aston Villa is about as good a defensive fixture as you're going to get this week. So I really think I think you've got to hold for one more week, as painful as it is.
Nope, get rid. I'm here to tell you, get rid. I dropped Jordan Henderson in a heartbeat. That Liverpool team is a complete mess right now. As we've discussed, they've been playing like a game every other day and like big games to boot. They look disorganized. They look tired.
Yeah, I guess we don't have enough context here. We don't have the full team to know if there are other. Maybe he's got, you know, like a pretty solid team elsewhere and doesn't need to make him. I mean, I guess you could save the move for game week 27, and then you'd have two and you could bring him out then.
Well, I think that's the thing. It's either you get rid of him this week or you get rid of him next week. It depends on how strongly you feel about getting a Southampton defender in for this week.
Right.
I mean, I'd advise you to do that because you're going to have to drop him next week when Liverpool blanks anyway.
Yeah, and the match in game week 28 is against Man City. So, you know, it's even if you – yeah, exactly. So you want to get rid of Moreno, whether you do it this game week or next week. For the love of God, get rid of Alberto Moreno. even with the possible double game week coming up. I mean, you're probably going to end up wild carding before the double game week anyway.
Yeah, so. and trust us, Moreno's value isn't going to go up. You'll still be able to afford him if you really want him that that badly.
Agreed. All right, so let's move on to Owen O'Keefe, who says, has trading one player you've had a long time ever messed you up? He says, with De Bruyne, I played 3-4-3 every week. Now I've got benching issues. So I have the memory that I have of this. So the first thing that came to mind, at least when he asked the question, I think the basic question is something changes to your team structure. And you're playing a different formation than you used to, or just whatever, for whatever reason, the decision making isn't as easy as it used to, be. And for me, this typically happens when I'm trying to play when I have five strong midfielders. And I remember last year, near the end of the season, I was playing this like season long game of catch up with this guy Ben in our league. And so my like experimental move was to go five across the middle. And and then I brought in Saito Berahino, and I was like, well, Berahino's not that good, so or like
Tony Pulis over here.
He's not a he's not worth $23 million or whatever. So Berahino, not that strong. Don't want to play him week in and week out. This will be very easy, but it turns out it's actually very difficult not to play three forwards. At least it is for me. And I felt like every game week I was just agonizing over you know, whether to play Berahino or bench him. And then if Berahino like scored a goal in a match, I was like, well, do I have to stick with him now? Like, is he, cause he's in good form, or do I have to drop him? Because the plan was always to drop him for tough fixtures and play the five man midfield. And, you know, so I don't know. Yeah. I think you can get yourself in trouble sometimes. I'm sure. I don't think I've ever really had four strong defenders, but I imagine it's the same. You have the same problem with that.
Yeah, totally. I mean, playing the three strikers is always the game, because that's always the surest route to goals, like unless you're Crystal Palace or West Brom, where it's only goals from their defenders. But earlier this season, I remember when I picked up Dele Alli, he was just dirt cheap at the time, and I brought him in to be my fifth midfielder, and that was right around the time that he hit form. And I can't remember exactly what my full lineup was across the middle, but my midfielders were basically all undroppable. And like many of us, I ended up benching Mahrez at inopportune moments and missing out on like 14 points. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it happens. And there's something to be said about getting somebody in who you're very happy to bench every week, like the junior Stanislauses of the world, where they're never going to set the world on fire. If you ultimately have to play him or bring him in as an auto sub, you're probably going to get some points.
Yeah, I think the problem that happens is, you know, especially when there are low price forwards that are playing well, you know, you bring in these cheap players. I mean, you know, for a long time this season, you would have been very happy with a very cheap, I mean, a forward line that could have been, you know, Jamie Vardy, Agallo, and I mean, you could have had Vardy, Agallo, and Deeney for like a good 8 week run there, and you would have been pretty happy. Yeah. So, you know, the problem is when there are a lot of low scoring, you know, cheap forwards, you end up having a lot of extra money. And when you have all that money, your first thought is, well, I want to redistribute this around the team. And then what happens is you end up with five strong midfielders because you've got the money to have five strong midfielders.
Yeah.
And it's really not – it's not actually not really a problem other than the like the mental anguish of trying to like decide what to do every single game week. I mean, it almost takes the fun out of the game, it's so stressful.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, you just have to think about that, how beautiful it's going to be when you ultimately play your bench boost.
Yeah, that's true. The 1 out of 38 weeks when you're playing. All right, last question from Matthew Greco at Get Noise. He says, I love saying that. That's a great name for a Twitter. That's a great
Get
Twitter.
Noise. Get Noise. Get Noise.
It says, with a blank game week coming up in game week 27 and Sturridge possibly back, which, you know, we'll see about that. Is it worth keeping Firmino? His false 9 days may be over. So I think it is. God, it's a tough one, actually. I mean, I would keep Firmino for this fixture, certainly, versus Aston Villa. Would I drop him for game week 27? It's certainly possible, because, you know, if it was a 1 week blip, you know, where he was off in game week 27 and then they had a strong fixture, you know, right after that, it'd be different. But he's off in game week 27 and they immediately play Manchester City. And it's, you know, it's just a tough run. I mean, granted, I think he scored a goal.
Yeah, a city team which Liverpool completely annihilated. That was like Klopp's big coming out party.
Yeah, that feels like a long time ago, though.
It surely does. But we were just talking about how lots of teams might be stacked in the midfield because of how we're spending our money on our strikers. And if Get Nice, if he's got a decent midfield that he can rotate in game week 27, Firmino, I'd be very happy to bench for 1 week. I mean, his form has definitely been much more consistent of late. And if you feel strongly about him keeping that going, just stick with him. I mean, you're probably going to end up making a transfer that doesn't pay off anyway. So,
yeah, I think I'd stick with him too. I mean,
if it were me, I'd make a crummy transfer. Is what I'm saying.
I probably would too. I don't know. It's a tough one. I mean, again, it's hard to know without seeing the full team. I mean, if Firmino is the only other player that like if you had like Aguero and Firmino, you know, get away with keeping those two guys on the bench for the game week, then maybe. I don't know. I mean, his value hasn't risen that high. I mean, it's not like you're in a situation where, you know, it's funny because we talked about this on a podcast recently, but I think it's worth reiterating. This idea sometimes that if you drop a player, it's like you don't want to bring him back right away. It's like you don't want to admit that you made a mistake or something. Yeah. I mean, I know I'm guilty of this sometimes. Like even with like Jamie Vardy, who I dropped just a couple of weeks ago, and now I'm like, oh, like, am I really going to bring him right back in? You know, or like you with Mahrez, but it's just you just have to like swallow your pride, you know.
And with Liverpool blanking in 27, there's not going to be a run on Liverpool players, so it's basically guaranteed that Firmino's value isn't going to go up if you drop him.
So you can drop him and then you know bring him back in for you know game week 29, you know, away to Crystal Palace or something like that.
Yeah, but. I think both of us are going to be, I mean, at least Aguero, we're going to be benching in game week 27. So I think everyone's going to be benching somebody, some valuable player in 27.
Yeah, exactly. So and this is, again, why I brought in Lingard, because you're going to need that fifth midfielder if you've got Aguero on your bench.
Yeah.
All right. So I think we are ready to go to the optimizer, Brandon. I feel like that was pretty fast. Like we moved through that stuff pretty quickly.
I've seen faster, but it was pretty good. It was pretty good, Josh. It was
pretty good.
All right, let's fire up the optimizer. Let's get in and let's do this. Game week 26.
All right. Early morning fixture. And this, I got to say, I'm pretty excited about these game weeks, Brandon. Actually, I think we're watching together on Sunday, which I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, special Valentine's Day. Always cheating outing.
Valentine's Day soccer watch. Yeah, I really am going to be watching a lot of soccer this weekend, I think, Brandon, because my wife is going to a writer's retreat in Florida, and I'm going to have the house to myself, and I might have like three or four screens watch. I mean, I'm really going to just blow it out.
You know, I love an auxiliary screen.
Yeah, I'm going to have the TV, the computer, like possibly my phone. It's going to be like, I don't even know, like some futuristic movie with a lot of TV screens, okay? Insert your own.
Like Minority Report, that sort of thing.
That's something I was actually thinking of. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to be doing that thing where I use my hands and I'm going to slide the games across the screens, you know, like they always do in those movies.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it is. All right, so let's get to it. Sunderland host Man United, early morning match on Saturday. What do you think?
I think this is a great fixture if you've got United assets. Sunderland is a tricky team, though. Somehow they just find a way to score. So a clean sheet for United is going to be tough. I wouldn't bet against it, but I will start David De Gea with some trepidation. I think it'll be tight. I think United will probably eke it out like 2-1, or maybe they'll get a 3-1 result.
Yeah, I think I was just really impressed with them in that match, as I know you were saying you were as well earlier in the podcast. I think this is a pretty easy win for Man United in the end. I think it's like a 2-0 or 3-0 win. I just thought they showed a lot of team spirit in that match versus Chelsea. A bit unlucky to concede the goal late. Yeah. I feel like Lingard's playing well. Rooney's playing well. Defense looks a lot stronger. Like you said, Darmian seems vastly improved the last few weeks. Maybe that's because Van Hall is finally playing him. I don't know.
I mean, spare a moment for young Bothwick Jackson. He looks great. He also plays with this very strange expression on his face. He's a bit of a mouth breather.
But, yeah, four million, right? Isn't that Jackson's possible option? It's too bad they're, you know, if they weren't hosting Arsenal in game week 27, he'd be a really good option.
Yeah.
I think there's too good of a chance of Arsenal scoring in that match to make him like a must pick up player.
Yeah, I agree. But if money's tight, definitely worth a look.
Yeah. So, yeah, a tough run of fixtures for Sunderland continues. I mean, they play Chelsea, they play Liverpool. Inspiring comeback victory against Liverpool, I will say.
Yeah, for sure. Unreal.
Yeah. Do you think the walkout had anything to do with it? I mean, the fact they conceded two goals after the fan walkout?
I don't know. I didn't watch the game, so I can't really say how they conceded. But yeah, I mean the team is not really mentally sound anyhow at the moment, so it's not surprising that they.
Yeah, I don't blame the fans for that. I'm all for fans' rights, and you know, like it was I don't blame them for walking out. But yeah, I thought it was.
I mean, the Liverpool season is done anyway, so it's not like they're walking out costing Liverpool 2 points is like totally screwing the club long run.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so next match is Bournemouth hosting Stoke.
Okay, so Stoke is going to come back at some point, maybe. Like I was saying earlier, I'm going to start Glenn Johnson. I'm going to be a little cautious about it, though, because Stoke just – they haven't looked the same since Shawcross went out of that defense, and they have no goals at the moment.
Yeah, I'm probably going to be starting Butland in this game, too, and I'm not doing so with a lot of confidence. It's either Butland or Schmeichel away to Arsenal, so – It's got to be Butland, but yeah, not feeling great about that one.
Bournemouth had their chances against Arsenal, and they do play a really exciting brand of football, but the finishing touch just escapes them time and time again. So it kind of depends on what Bournemouth shows up, on Saturday. But I would favor Stoke slightly. Here.
I think this to me, I'm going to predict a 1-1 draw. I think Afobe is back in the goals, and I think I don't know someone on. Yeah, I mean they just haven't been healthy. That's really the problem with Stoke. I mean, like it was a very short-lived experience, but there was a time when Bojan, Shaqiri, and Arnautovic were all healthy, and it was like this crazy like continental mix, and you know, so
it was like the free breakfast at Hampton Inn. It was that continental.
It was very continental. That was a pretty good joke. I should have laughed at that.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. I'll insert a laugh track when I edit this episode together.
So they're all healthy now, though, right? I mean, did they all play Shaqiri? I guess they did. Did they? Bojan didn't play at home to Everton.
Okay. I think Jeff Cameron is a big miss for them, and I don't say that just as an American fanboy.
Yeah.
But his presence in the defensive mid for them earlier in the season was, I think, a real big thing for them.
Ryan Shawcross too.
Yep. It's tricky. I mean, Bournemouth is at home, so maybe you favor them because of that. It's just a tough one to call.
Agreed. Next match is Crystal Palace hosting Watford.
It just gets grimmer and grimmer.
This is a grim slate of fixtures.
I would love a win for Watford here. Watford have kind of been going through the doldrums lately. Mm-hmm. You gotta love that team, and Crystal Palace is just garbage at the moment.
Yeah, I think Watford also. I agree. They really could have. They deserved a draw in that. Well, I don't know if they deserved a draw. Gomez deserved something. He deserved the Man of the Match award.
He deserved like a free hoagie sandwich or something like that. Like, here's to you, Gomez. Enjoy this sandwich.
We could have talked about that that match as one of our fixtures. It was a pretty interesting match, and Trippier looked fantastic.
He sure did.
I knew it was only a matter of time because he was so good on Burnley last year, and you figured eventually he'd find a way to assert himself into that, you know, get into the squad.
It is interesting how those wingers have taken shape on Spurs, and now you start with Kyle Walker and Danny Rose, and somehow they've morphed into Ben Davies and Trippier. And
I have so much respect for Pochettino, and it feels like he's making all the right moves. Like it just the way he's rotating those defenders and the attackers, it just seems like he's got a great feel for this team. I really hope he stays with this team for a while, and they really kind of grow around him.
Yeah, if he moves to Man United, it'll be sad.
It'll be depressing. I agree. I think Watford wins that match. I'll predict a 2-1 Watford win.
Yeah, I mean, unless it's going to be 3-3 for Scott Dan, Crystal Palace.
That's the one.
Oh, that is the one. Yeah, I don't see Crystal Palace winning a game for the rest of the season.
All right, so
that's my bold proclamation in this week's optimizer.
They probably still have enough points, right? Maybe they have to win like one more match, and they'd stay up.
They'll have a few draws.
Okay,
that'll get them to safety.
Everton hosting West Brom. Now, this is a frustrating one because, you know, having punted on Lukaku, you know, just feeling like the moment was over. Now you've got this. And to be fair, I mean, Lukaku scored on a penalty. And that was basically the only worthwhile thing he did in the entire match.
Did you see what he said to Ross? It looked like after that penalty, he says to Ross Barkley, "I'll get one, then you get one." Because Barkley, coming off of two penalties,
he tried to take the penalty, and Lukaku took it away from him.
Oh,
yeah,
I missed that.
Yeah, it wasn't like a Kevin Morales, Leighton Baines thing from a couple of years ago, but it looked like Ross Barkley was like, "Come on, man, I just made like 2 4 days ago. Like, give me this." And Lukaku was like, "No. This is mine." So that was like the only time he really, you know, like it was a well taken penalty, but he wasn't really threatening the rest of the match.
Yeah,
I mean, it was kind of even like, I mean, I really don't hold. I mean,
he did put a header off the woodwork, though.
Oh, did he really? Oh, that's right, he did, didn't he?
So, but yeah, it's tough.
Brendan, woodwork is not a shot on target, my friend.
It's true; it is off target, technically speaking. That's fair. That's a fair point. But I think this is Lukaku's swan song. This is the last fixture in which us FPL managers will have Lukaku, because we'll all have to dump him for game week 27.
I'm glad that I have Ross Barkley in this match, so I at least have a little bit of coverage. So
I don't know. There's a case to be made for sitting Lukaku in week 27 because they have Villa in game week 28. So if you're able to ride out the blank with Everton, why not?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I may end up having two bench players that in game week 27. Yeah, we'll see. It's a tricky one.
What about Aaron Lennon? You going to pick up Aaron Lennon for this West Brom game?
No.
Forget Lingard. He should have passed that ball to Lukaku anyway.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so that brings us to...
So we're predicting like a 10-0 win for Everton against West Brom, right?
This could be like 4-0. I mean, you know, speaking of... non-Aguero captain shouts. I guess I probably go. I mean, honestly, you maybe Aguero. Okay, if we were ranking our captains this game week, I think I would go Aguero, Payet, and Lukaku. But I could be convinced to go Aguero, Lukaku, Payet.
Yep, I'd agree with that totally. It's one or the other.
So 4-0 Everton is my prediction.
Yeah, I'll go with that. I'll go with that. I'll back you.
Norwich, West Ham. Yeah, which is, we already kind of talked about this already. So let's touch on this briefly.
I'm starting Aaron Cresswell, vice captaining Payet, perhaps if Big Rom doesn't get it, and I'm feeling pretty groovy about it.
I agree, and I think this is like a 3-1 West Ham win.
I mean, we've talked about the great run of fixtures that West Ham has, but I think Payet's ownership is in real trouble if he doesn't produce anything here against Norwich.
Yep, I agree. I mean, obviously, you're not going to be able to drop him for a couple of weeks, but there's no reason to think of him as essential if he's going to get 2 or 3 points in every game week. I mean, I think he's on a run of 4 with nothing, so a little bit of the luster is gone. That's for sure.
Yeah, but we'll expect numerous goals for West Ham against Norwich, and I'm hoping for a clean sheet with Aaron Cresswell. And I think that's a pretty easy expectation.
I agree. So let's move on to Swansea, Southampton. A couple of frustrating draws in a row now for Swansea. And I don't fancy them to win this game either. I think that this is probably like a 1-0 or 2-0 Southampton win.
Yeah, Gylfi Sigurdsson has been delivering, though. And
he has. Absolutely.
If you've got him in your midfield, you have to be a happy owner. And he's, like we were saying last week, I think it was, he's outshining Andre Ayew for the first time this season.
Yeah, but what would you rather have, a like slightly more informed Swansea team or this Southampton defense, which looks like it's just absolutely crushing it right now?
Yeah, I think you can just go listen to the first 15 minutes of this podcast and answer that question for yourself.
There you go. It's very, very nice, Brandon. Just put it on repeat. Chelsea, Newcastle, the late fixture on Saturday. What do you think?
Oh, I'm hoping it's a fun game. If you remember earlier in the season, I think we saw it was game week 7. Newcastle had a great game against Chelsea. And, they ended up drawing 2-2. But Wijnaldum had a goal. And your buddy Ayoze Perez also scored. Mm-hmm. So, I would just hope from a fan perspective it would be as fun as that match. But Chelsea is clearly a much different and more evolved team since game week 7. So they'll make it tougher for Newcastle.
I find this to be a slightly difficult game to predict because Newcastle is looking a lot stronger than they. I mean, honestly, I don't know that I think they'll even be relegated at this point. It seems like they have enough now with
Jonjo Shelvey,
with Jonjo, and even with Andros Townsend. I mean, I'm not a huge believer in Andros Townsend, but from what I've seen so far with him on Newcastle, it looks like he's going to be a valuable player for them. So, you know, God bless him.
Yeah, I think they did well enough in the transfer market. I agree. I would be actually shocked if the Newcastle team ends up going down. I mean, there's just so much garbage around them that will probably fall below wherever Newcastle ends up.
Yeah, I think that Costa is playing well enough right now and really focused. I mean, it's still frustrating that he doesn't commit himself to just shooting more often. You know, it seems like he's playing so many games. It's like I think he gets in his own head a little bit.
Yeah,
but I think this is a 2-1 Chelsea win.
Yeah, I'm going to back you on that one. It is a tough one to call.
It is a tough one. All right, Arsenal Leicester on Sunday. Really looking forward to this one.
My God, we've had so many like top fixtures just with this past game week, and now Arsenal playing Leicester, just insane matchups.
Yeah, totally. I think
it's going to be a lot. It's going to be a much tougher matchup for Leicester here against Arsenal because I think Arsenal does play a much faster pace than City does. I think City was just overrun by how fast and physical Leicester was.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really compare Monreal and Bellerin to. The Man City match, I mean, they started Zabaleta and Kolarov. Zabaleta's a really crafty, smart player, but he's not very fast. And Kolarov barely defends, right? He's so, like, focused on, like, taking corner kicks and free kicks and scoring goals and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's an action man.
So I think that in Bellerin and Monreal, Leicester will be more neutralized than they were, just because we all know how good Bellerin in particular is, just amazing at tracking back and you know, stopping forwards from you know, running in on Peter Cech. You know, so I do think that I think it's a better, like I said, I think it's a tougher matchup for Leicester. I think there will be goals on both sides. It wouldn't shock me if Vardy scored, but I could also see this game being really tetchy and scoreless. I mean, I could see this game being like a 1-0. I know I'm like predicting every outcome now, so just to to force myself into a corner, I'm going to predict a 1-0 Arsenal win.
Yeah, I think interesting.
I just think that they'll get. I think it'll be a really. Neither team wants to lose this game. Losing this game is really harmful for both teams. I mean, Arsenal, I know, want to win, but Leicester really don't want to lose this match.
Right.
So it wouldn't even be shocking if Mahrez didn't start. I mean, we've seen him do this before. Uh-huh. In games where he's really playing for a draw. So, I mean, you probably can't do that given Mahrez's form at the moment, but you could see Mahrez getting subbed like in the 60th minute or something like that if it's still a 0-0 match. So, 1-0 is my prediction.
So, about a month ago, you guaranteed a Chelsea clean sheet and promised everyone free tacos.
But then we did
double or nothing, and I promised an enchilada to everybody. If I can't remember for what, but I ended up being right there. So we're back kind of to square one.
Okay,
I'm going to go back to the taco situation.
Okay.
I'm guaranteeing free tacos to everybody if Leicester doesn't score. I think Leicester is guaranteed to score in this game.
Wow. Okay. I like this.
I'm going to predict a draw here. It's either going to be a 1-1 or 2-2 draw.
Okay. That I wouldn't be shocked if that happened. Next fixture is Aston Villa Liverpool.
Okay, what to say about this one? We were kind of predicting it earlier in the podcast, and how I feel like Villa has some advantage being at home and Liverpool being in a considerable disarray at the moment, and perhaps rather fatigued with all the games that they've had recently. So I do like Villa's chances to get at least a draw here.
Yeah. I think this could, it's a very interesting match. This will be a pure watch for me because I have no players in this match.
Oh, Micah Richards isn't going to get the start?
No, he won't be starting for me. But I do think, I mean, I suppose it's not a pure watch because enough people have Firmino that I'll probably be pulling for Aston Villa to to keep their clean sheet. Yeah, to shut them down. I think that Liverpool will win this match, though. I mean, just given how they played against a pretty similar Norwich team a couple weeks ago, I don't think it's going to be quite that wild. But I'll predict a 2-0 Liverpool win. Even fatigued, they're just so much better than Aston Villa. Yeah.
It's true. I mean, despite the arguments I'm making for Aston Villa, I think you're right. Liverpool's going to win this one pretty easily.
And this is the Benteke comeback match. I wonder if he actually starts in this match.
Well, that's an interesting point. I doubt it, but he'll probably get a sub.
Yeah, he might get a sub. All right, final match of the game week, and it's really really ending with a bang. The two out of these three matches are fantastic on Sunday. Man City hosting Spurs. I love it. So excited about this one.
Oh, for sure.
We 1, 2, 3, and 4 are playing this weekend.
Yeah, so it's the Aguero loves to score derby here. He scores goals by the hatful against Spurs, but this is a different Spurs team than we've seen in years past, and I think they'll like their chances against City, particularly given all the injuries that City's dealing with right now, and their defense is a little mangled at the moment.
Yeah,
Spurs will definitely be scoring against the City defense. It just is down to what sort of City midfield shows up as far as to how competitive the game will be.
Yeah, there's a real identity problem going on for City right now. I don't think they quite know what their best midfield is. And
yeah, it'll be a great game. I would love to see Spurs win. I think it's going to be pretty tight, and maybe 2 or 3 goals for either squad.
Yeah, I think like a 2-2 draw maybe seems about right. Maybe a 3-2 Man City win with a couple of Aguero goals.
Agreed. I mean, if anyone's going to score for that City team, it's going to be Aguero. All
right, so if I had to pin you down, Brandon, if you're a betting man,
okay,
what is your prediction for this game?
I predict a 3-2 Spurs victory.
Wow. I predict a 3-2 Man City victory.
Interesting. I think City's going to come out guns blazing. Aguero's going to get off the mark really quickly. But then Spurs are just going to grind it out through the 90 minutes and end up with a 3-2 win.
This would be quite. If Leicester win on Sunday and Spurs win at Man City, this is officially the craziest season I can recall. It's really, yeah, it'd be fantastic. All right, so that's it for us. Find us on Twitter. We're at Hail Cheaters. We're also always cheating. We're on Facebook. You can email us, hailcheaters@gmail.com. And come find us, and we'll be talking all week and certainly talking a lot this weekend.
Yeah, and don't forget to subscribe to the pod if you haven't already. We're on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, and basically anywhere where you pick up your podcasts. And if you're feeling kind, leave us a nice review. We'd really appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Brandon, it was nice talking to you, and I will talk to you.
Nice talking to you, Josh. That was nice all very, very civil of you.
It was. Yeah.
All right. Once, well, don't forget to hail Poku, Josh.
Yeah. And hail cheaters.
All right. See you later.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.